From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Brian Nairn reports in the Albany Times-Union that divers removed a sunken barge from the bottom of the Hudson River at the port of Coeymans last week. According to U.S. Coast Guard Petty Officer Steve Strohmeyer, scuba divers used underwater cutting equipment to get the barge, which sunk there in February while tied up at the port out of the river. Full of construction and demolition debris, the barge was too heavy to be refloated, so it was cut up underwater and lifted out in sections. It was owned by Carver Laraway LLC, which also owns the port of Coeymans. George McHugh, the general counsel to the company, said the vessel was leased to a third party, which he would not identify. He also wouldn't say exactly what was on the vessel. John Lipscomb, who operates the Hudson Patrol boat for the environmental group Riverkeeper, said that it was important to find out what polluted the Hudson River with the sinking. And you can read that full story in the Times-Union. Dan Friedman reports in the Albany Times-Union that opinion is split among local representatives after President Donald Trump's meeting with North Korea dictator Kim Jong-un in Singapore. Trump agreed to end military exercises on the Korean Peninsula and invite the dictator to the U.S. while receiving a vague promise of more negotiations. Representative John Faso, Republican of Kinderhook, said, and I quote, "President Trump and the administration should be commended for groundbreaking efforts with the ultimate goal of denuclearizing the Korean Peninsula. There is a lot of work to be done and many potential obstacles. However, there is a renewed sense of optimism that this time negotiations will yield a different result," end quote. New York Senator Chuck Schumer disagreed on the Senate floor June 12th, and I quote, "By granting a meeting with Chairman Kim, President Trump has granted a brutal and repressive dictatorship the international legitimacy it has long craved. For the United States, it's permanent proof that we have legitimized a brutal dictator who has starved his own people. If the United States is unable to win concrete, lasting concessions from North Korea, the meeting alone will be a victory for Kim Jong-un." New York's other senator, Kirsten Gillibrand, tweeted, and I quote, "I hope North Korea is serious about this effort and determined to join the international community. And I encourage the Trump administration to do the hard work of getting a strong, verifiable agreement," end quote. And you can read the full story in the Albany Times-Union. In a June 12th press release, Representative John Faso, the Republican of Kinderhook, and I quote, "applauded the passage of H.R. 5685, the Medicare Opioid Safety Education Act of 2018, by voice vote," end quote. The bill only passed in the U.S. House and needs Senate and presidential approval to become law. Faso's press release said about the bill he sponsored, and I quote, "This bill will improve efforts to educate seniors on alternatives to traditional opioid pain medication through the Medicaid Part D program. Nearly one in three seniors on Medicaid Part D were prescribed an opioid during 2016. That statistic underlies just how prevalent the use of opioid painkillers is among seniors who often are dealing with issues stemming from chronic pain," end quote. He went on to say, and I quote, "One of the best ways to combat the opioid crisis is to better educate the public on these risks and to educate them on alternatives. I am glad this common sense legislation has passed the House and will be included in a large package of opioid bills being sent to the Senate," end quote. On June 12th, Faso also voted for the Comprehensive Opioid Recovery Centers Act, which got 383 votes, with 13 Republicans voting against. Chris McKenna reports at The Fray that a U.S. House Republican Super Political Action Committee is reserving $1 million for advertisements to support Representative John Faso, the Republican of Kinderhook, in the congressional election this fall. The Congressional Leadership Fund is buying ad time for Faso and nine other Republican incumbents this year. Corey Bliss, executive director of the Super PAC, said in a press release on June 11th, and I quote, "Thanks to Speaker Paul Ryan and Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy's leadership in Congress, CLF continues to break fundraising records, allowing us to be more aggressive in adding new races and increasing our previous buys. These efforts ensure that CLF will have the resources needed to prevent Republican members of Congress from being outspent this fall," end quote. Seven Democrats are facing off in the June 26 primary election to face Faso in November. Among the Democrats, Antonio Delgado had more money in his coffers than Faso as of March 31st, with Pat Ryan and Brian Flynn slightly behind Faso's money on hand. And you can read that full story at The Fray. The Associated Press reports in the Daily Freeman that the New York State Senate passed a law stopping anyone under the age of 18 from using indoor tanning booths on June 12th. The bill had previously passed the Assembly in April and goes to Governor Andrew Cuomo for a signature to become law. The bill only changes the current law by 2 years, as 16-year-olds are currently prohibited from using the tanning booths. Lawmakers cite dangerous ultraviolet radiation that can increase the risk of skin cancer as the reason for the law. The American Cancer Society supports the measure, and you can read the full story in the Daily Freeman. This has been the WGXE Hands-On Radio News Update. For more information, use the WGXE website, WGXE.org.